We're so glad you joined us at Cultivating Hearts. Janelle and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy, are in the studio again, and we're still discussing Matthew 26. And today we're going to talk about to watch and pray.
Mm. You know, this part is so important. This is in the second, when Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, I couldn't say it, Gethsemane.
That's kind of how I say it sometimes. The Mount of Olives.
He had told them that he was in sorrow, and he asked them to stay awake and pray. And then he went back, and they were asleep. And he comes and he says to them, so couldn't you stay awake, Peter, just 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you not enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, this is profound, and I don't know why I hadn't caught this before until actually this morning when I was going back over the lessons. And as I was going back over the lessons, I'm like, oh my goodness, wow. Okay, so I saw two sections. I saw watch as an important part and prayer as an important part. There are two things. And so let's go real quick to the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And because I think it's actually in there when he gives it out to them. So let's see. I think it starts at verse 10. And we're going to go through to verse 20. Janelle, would you mind opening up to Ephesians? And I want you to listen as it goes over, as Paul gives the armor of God, how he tells us as well the same thing that Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, verses 10 through verse 20.
Of what chapter, sorry?
Ephesians 6.
6, sorry. 10 through 20? Mm-hmm. Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
Mm. Wow, that's just worthy of reading on a regular basis.
Yes,
I love the armor of God. All right, so in verse 18, my translation uses stay alert. Some translations say watch, some say stay awake. But it's pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Okay, Jesus in the garden says stay awake and pray. So watch, or stay awake, or stay alert. That, to me, as I was looking at it, it represents the temporal side of life. Okay, and I was just sitting there visually, and it's like, God, what does it mean? Because one of the things that we do when we do our training with the RAs is we are constantly telling them they have to pay attention. You have to pay attention, and you have to be intentional in knowing what's going on around you. And you can't just pay attention and be intentional. You have to see, and you have to act upon what you observe. So, and we do all kinds of crazy things, like, you know, we'll stop and we'll get back in the vehicle, and they've been out and gone to the gas station to go to the bathroom or whatever. And so, what was the name of the clerk? And they're all like, what? Well, if you're paying attention, you need to make observations of things that are going around you. True. You know, what was the person on the motorcycle wearing? And they're like, what? You know, getting them to start paying attention to their surroundings. And you have to know what's going on. Jesus told them, watch. Paul tells us in the armor of God, watch, stay alert, be observant. And so I was just, what does that look like on this earthly level? I was like, okay, it's intentional, it's observant, It's being aware of what's going on around me. And that awareness is the physical, the mental, the emotional, the social, and the spiritual. It is paying attention with intentionality as I'm watching. But it's not just watching it. It's actually using the means within my power to affect change. So when Janelle was talking in one of the radio shows and she said it's being willing to get in the hole with somebody, not watching them in the hole, but get in the hole. It is being willing to use the power within my means to do something. And it's being willing to move when I should. Okay, that's what he means by watching. It's, aren't you looking and paying attention? Have you not seen? Wake up. I'm over here. Did you see? I was sweating blood. And did you not recognize my agony? I mean, I don't think that Christ was critical about it in any way, shape, or form, but we've got to be willing to see that in others. So it's the temporal side of it. The pray part, it's the spiritual. It's when the temporal and the eternal connect. And that's the seeking God, calling out, crying out, asking him for help, asking him for his power, for resurrection power that happens at the cross to be a part of it. And when we are willing to do that, this is the exact moment that God takes that which is an ordinary moment and turns it into extraordinary. It's crazy. I'm like, why do I not do that all
That's
the time?
Right.
Especially
when we've experienced it.
I know. And so as I was writing this out, I wrote, we fail in temptation, because that's what he's telling them it's going to guard him from, because we fail to watch and pray. I'm not paying attention to my surroundings. I'm not paying attention to what's happening. And I'm not praying into the eternal to take over what I have going on around me. The battle is often won or lost because of whether or not I am watching or praying. So I can go into any circumstance. And I was, it's really funny because this morning I actually slept the latest I think I've slept in a long time. And I'm like, oh, on a morning where I'm thinking about watching and praying and my prayer time's shorter than it's ever been. It isn't about...
Not about length.
No. It's about surrender. It's about surrender. It's not a, I've had this amount of time with God. It's about our heart and seeking him out, to welcome him in to the presence of what we are dealing with, what we're doing, what we're interacting with. And that makes me excited because that takes the suffering and that brings it to the glory. That is where the exaltation comes out. So as I share that, what's on your hearts as you hear that? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? Can I talk? what are you thinking?
I don't know. This entire passage, I just look at the whole context of Matthew and how it's built and built. It's just, it's a beautiful story, how it shows the life of Christ and it shows it building. And then this point, we've talked about at the beginning that this is a pivotal point in the life of Christ. And you can, I mean, even like the poetic feel of the repetition that he goes back to the disciples three times and he prays and he goes back and he prays and he goes back, that just builds this tension. And he continuously sees them not ready. And then we go in, you know, from this climaxing build point into the rest of the action and the rest of the resolution of the passage. But he asks them to watch and wait for him. And if that is the climax of this book, that's probably something we should be paying attention to, that it's not just in this moment that the disciples needed to be ready and alert and paying attention, but that is something that Christ is asking of us for the rest of our lives, that we watch with him, that we pray with him, that we remain focused and prepared for the trials that he calls us to, for the jobs that he's called us to in his service.
Yes. Good.
That is good.
That's really good. Okay, so why do you fall asleep? Why do you stop watching? Why do you stop praying? What is it that happens that makes
I think
you...
we let the pain get to us.
Okay.
You know, our suffering that we're not, I guess, willing to do, but we know we should.
Okay.
I think we lose sight, too. Like the disciples.
Our focus, yeah.
They didn't realize what was going on. They didn't realize that this was his hour, his moment, when they were needed the most. I mean, Peter just got done saying, even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you. And all the disciples are like, yeah, yeah, no, I totally agree. And then the test is the next moment, and they fail it because they didn't see that this is what they were supposed to be looking for. And we fall asleep because we don't realize that this is the battle, and this is when we need to be alert and prepared.
Yeah.
Very well said.
I know. I thought of the irony, Janelle, of Peter's. He actually has two places in the verses beforehand. He says, you know, I'll die for you. He says, I think, three different, like, emphatic things, and I'm not finding where I had written it down. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the irony of he said that, and yet here he's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can have a heart that's passionate towards something, yet we can still on the moment not be available.
Yep.
And the challenge for us to get up and hit the mark. I know for myself, it's not getting my focus where it needs to be. My focus is on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the pain. My self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about me.
Or pride.
Pride. Insecurity. I can go mm-hmm. one or the other. It seems yep. like I'm either here or I'm there. I'm either at one end of the spectrum or at the other. It's like the self-elevation or self-deprecation. I don't know.
Those self-pity. Things,
pity.
Yep.
Selfish.
Selfishness. All of these things are what get in the way. And it can be physical. It can be mental. It can be emotional. It can actually be social.
All of them.
You know. But ultimately what it comes down to is what I have my eyes on,
mm-hmm.
keeping my eyes on Jesus, and who is the author and finisher of our faith, and getting my heart back. So then I get to the point, and I don't know if this is just me, but I will be telling myself and my soul talk, okay, focus on Jesus, focus on Jesus, focus on Jesus, that I can then also be so telling myself that I'm not allowing it to be in true worship. And so getting our hearts back to worship, because scripture is clear. It's mm-hmm. God inhabits the praises of his people. He is present with us. And in the armor of God, we just read, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. He will flee. And so we have got to be where we're willing to bring that up and make it a part of our lives. And so how can we challenge those that are listening to grow and watching and praying? What does that look like? What do you do?
I don't know. I think, again, just focusing their perspective on the battle. And I don't know, most of the people that I talk to that are like, you know, this is the struggle I'm going through. This is all that I'm facing. All they see is 2 inches in front of their nose. They can't see past that to what the struggle really is. And I mean, I do this all the time where I'm so absorbed in, I'm frustrated with this particular thing. And that's something that that my boyfriend is actually really excellent at pointing out in me, is this is not the real issue. You need to look deeper than that. You need to find out what the problem is. And that's something that I struggle with, and something that that I'm working on calling out in others, is looking for the heart of the issue. It's like knowing the difference in a story between the details that you see and then the themes of the passage. They're different.
That's good. One of the things I've started doing on top of getting the focus right is I will put on something that's like a worship song that gets me where my mind. And sometimes I might actually play one song 12 times
mm-hmm.
just because I'm wanting my mind to be where I'm just focused in on God and trying to get rid of the dirt of the mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know how better to say it, the confusion of the mind, the distraction of the mind, the things that I can allow come in and distort truth.
Mm-hmm. When I feel like I've been distracted or attacked, maybe even, mm-hmm. I put on my music in my house. Mm-hmm. And the one with Jesus, you know, it says, let them see you in me, let them hear you when I speak.
Mm-hmm.
That was
good.
Something that really spoke to me.
For me, this year in particular, for a couple of months now, it's the Holy Spirit. And I think Kim Walker is the one I like to listen to the most, of just asking for his presence to be there. And, you know, it's your glory, God, that we want. Mm-hmm. And just praying that, that one helps me. Reading scripture helps me. And depending on the season, it depends on the type of scripture that I need. And so if I'm needing to learn about my relationship with man, I will go to Proverbs. If I'm needing to learn about my relationship with God, I'll go to the Psalms. Mm-hmm. If I'm needing to learn how to walk my walk, I will use the Gospels. If I'm needing to learn doctrine because of a circumstance, I go to Paul. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to fit what my need is based on what I know about the Word of God. And always bringing the Word into it. I was talking with Pastor Dan Halgie this week about a circumstance that I'm struggling with as I'm trying to minister. And he said, Tara, all I know is that when I look at Jesus, Peter, and Paul, every single one of them gave the Word. Mm-hmm. And that just gave me such peace.
And I think you just hit on a good point. I think when we're struggling, as Janelle was talking, the music, the Word, but also godly counsel.
That's right.
You know, when you don't go to somebody and say, I need help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all need help.
Yep, and I called him because I know his life story and the situation I was ministering into. I needed wisdom that was beyond me because of my life experiences. And what he gave was so affirming because I felt so inadequate, but yet what he said was exactly what I had done. And so, you know, we need that.
We need that affirmation.
We need that wise counsel, those around us.
Encouragement.
And so seeking those out. Well, as we're finishing up on the Garden of Gethsemane, here's the deal. God knows. Christ knew. And he knew what was coming. He knew what it had been. And yet he still pressed forward. That's the whole point. The olive press was a pressing out of oil. And that oil is used, and it was holy. The first pressing in the olive press is holy. And he was willing to be pressed and allow that holiness to be made known that we might have eternal life. And so some of you might be out there experiencing the olive press right now. You may be in your Garden of Gethsemane. I just want to encourage you. God knows. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. And he wants to encourage you. Watch and pray. Do not grow weary of watching and praying and seeking his face. Because he will give you what you need in your time of need. And that when we are willing to suffer with Christ, the glory of Christ will be made known, whether we can see it and feel it. Because his glory has nothing to do with our feelings. Mm-hmm. It has to do with truth. Mm-hmm. All right. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. Hope you have a blessed day. And we just love you. God bless.